Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jordana Green, happy Friday, everyone, on this beautiful and getting more beautiful Friday. I'm solo today as Paul is filling in on 9 to noon on Sunday. No sports huddle because no sports, but don't worry, Sid and all are well. They will be back when the sports return. So you're just stuck with me and David and the governor, who will be joining us in just a moment, and the happy hour, and local songwriter who's singing a coronavirus song. We got lots of fun stuff for you today. Tim Lammers is going to be joining us in just a few minutes to lighten things up with movies. We'll have our meditation moment. We got a packed show today. Things are going to change on Monday. Things are going to get a little different on Monday. 30,000 workers, it's possible, are going back to work. We're going to have curbside retail. Are you going to go? Are you going to join in? Are you going to either stay at home or maybe join in on helping the economy? I'd love to hear it. We have some free time today, so we are going to open the phones in the 4:30 hour. We're getting things off our chest in the 4:30 hour. We're going to talk about what you're happy about, what you're sad about, what you just want to get off your chest. That is happening at 4:30. The governor's been busy today. He's certainly been on our show quite a bit. He's been on Dave's show this morning. So he was talking with Dave about the goal of 5,000 daily coronavirus tests, which is interesting. I'm going to ask him about that in just a minute. David, do we have the governor yet? Not yet.
We're awaiting his call. It should be momentarily.
Oh, we are anxiously awaiting his call. So there you go. He again announced the goal of on Monday having 5,000 daily coronavirus tests. So we're looking forward to that. If that's going to happen, we're going to ask him specifically about that. I'm also going to ask him what he's going to do. So we're a little bit open for business on Monday. Where's the governor going to go curbside and pick up? What is he going to do or change? I'm interested in what he is anxious to do. I don't think there's anybody giving curbside haircuts yet. And we did learn that salons are open, but only for product. But if somebody can figure out the curbside haircut to do it safely, I think that would be a pretty good business model these days, because I don't know anybody that doesn't need a haircut or, sorry, people out there, maybe over, I don't know, over 50, maybe a hair color. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. We're all getting to see everybody's real hair color on our Zoom calls. It is absolutely happening. It's May Day. May Day. It is International Workers' Day. And boy, did some workers pick that day to make a statement. Workers across the pandemic front lines are planning to strike today. Some are already walking out. Employees at Amazon, Whole Foods, Instacart, Target, Shipt. Shipt is the delivery service for Target. FedEx, Walmart, and probably many, many others, mostly non-unionized companies, are fighting back. They're telling their employers, we are calling in sick or walking off the job, picketing around warehouses and storefronts. I've seen some pictures already happening because we are angry about the working conditions. They feel they are unsafe. They want unpaid time off. They want hazard pay or sick leave pay to be provided during the duration of the pandemic. They say they're not safe because they don't have enough personal protective equipment, PPEs. That's another one of our buzzwords that we have learned in these last 2 months. They don't have enough cleaning supplies. So they are using International Workers' Day to walk off the job. Got to pivot now because joining us now, Governor Tim Walz. Governor, thank you so much for calling in. I know how busy you are.
Oh, Jordan, I'm sorry I'm late. I was over talking to the folks on KMOJ, and so I apologize. We really want to be with you. So thanks for having me.
We appreciate that. I know you weren't at your press conference today. It was just Chris Ayersman and Jan Malcolm. Is there anything that you wanted to say to the folks of Minnesota because you didn't get to at the presser today?
Yeah, I just think, first of all, the great sense of gratitude I have, and I hope I'm able to convey it, that words are really hard about how hard this is hitting people, both, you know, the mental side of this, if you've lost loved ones or have loved ones in long-term care facilities, or I think like most of your listeners, it's impacted you financially. And I just want to thank Minnesotans, because when all the data is put out, and there was a New York Times piece that had many charts that compares all the different ways. And I think there'll be a debate when this is all over, should there have been 50 different approaches in 50 states. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'm grateful for is that on most of those categories, Minnesota is doing things right. But, you know, this stay at home order that we issued is certainly not a black and white issue. It's about trying to match the healthcare and the best practices with a reality of how do you maintain this over a longer period of time while getting the economy back up and going. So I would just like to convey to folks, I certainly would not try and convey the pain that everyone's feeling, but I hope there's an understanding that I'm empathizing and trying to find the best path forward, that my responsibility is the safety, the health, and then, of course, the well-being, so that folks can live the lives they choose. And I'm cautious about, you know, putting out things, you know, that are too rosy of a picture, but I do think there's reasons to be optimistic today. I think we're in a different spot than we were 4 weeks ago.
Governor, I want to clear something up. Dr. Osterholm said we're in the second inning of a 9-inning contest. You said yesterday we're in the 20th mile of a marathon, generally 26 miles. Are those two differing opinions, or can you just clarify that you guys are on the same page?
Yeah, I don't think so. I do think we're on the same page. I use the marathon one because I think we can see the end, but anybody who's run one, mile 20 to 26 is harder than mile 0 to 20. And I think that was my analogy, that we have to see some light at the end of the tunnel, but I don't want to have people believe that this is just a spaced out time. The only thing I thought about with a game, each inning is the same length, each is whatever. That last 6 miles of a marathon, you go through a lot of soul searching. And so I think I've listened to Dr. Osterholm a lot during this. I think it was he and Jan Malcolm and those experts that got me thinking about that we had to find a middle ground for Minnesota that involved the best public health practices, but also allowed people to do as many of the things that they normally do as possible in a safe manner, or it wouldn't be possible to keep going. And so we're not on a different place. Dr. Osterholm is the one who, you know, is always keeps me in the place where I talk about testing. And he said, testing will do you no good if you do not have contact tracing and isolation. So I'm always working on the three pieces of that. But no, I think there's a ways to go. I guess it's I want to view grinding through that final 6 miles. I think he wants to see seven more innings, but I think basically we know until we get the therapeutics, and again, some potentially positive news yesterday on that, or a vaccine, we're going to have to change the way we operate, but we're going to have to change it in a way that's sustainable. And I think that's what we're trying to do. And it's not fast enough for most people, and I understand that. But if you needed a close to home example of what happens and how quickly this thing can come and get, you know, bite back, is we went from zero cases to nearly 900 in Nobles County, which, as I've been telling people, puts it at a higher infection rate per capita than New York City. And that happened in a week. That can happen with this thing if you don't do things right.
I know you talked about getting 5,000 tests per day by Monday. Are we on track to make that a reality here in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think we're about 4,700 today, that we've doubled in the last week since we announced the partnership. It was really on Tuesday of this week that we really kicked things in, and we've gone up 3,000, 4,000, now about 5,000. It's the goal that I hope by the end of May then that we will be consistently at 20,000 a day on the PCR, the molecular test to show if you have it. During that time, we need to do the next big job that the state has to do. If I'm going to ask folks to stay home, if I'm going to ask folks to take the economic risk and the hits that they're taking, we need to do the things that will help make this work. And that is now the contact tracers, of building out that, you know, that small army of contact tracers and to isolate folks. And that will allow us, what I think Dr. Ostrom would attest to, is we may be able to put the forest fire out, but these small blazes are going to blaze up again like we saw in Worthington. We need to have the capacity to get there before it gets to 800, test everybody, contact trace, isolate folks, and then get back to a sense of continuing on. So we will get there. My goal was to have the first 5,000 day before the 4th of May. It looks like we maybe will do that.
Governor, we do a segment called The Happy Hour on this show where people call in and they tell us what their little ray of sunshine is that day. What is something, even during a pandemic, that you can tell us that is making you happy today?
Yeah, I think here, and I just was mentioning that about kind of the blessing of this. This morning when I was up thinking about the gravity of this, I was doing interviews for the Minnesota Supreme Court, you know, via Zoom. And I looked over, and my 19-year-old college freshman was on the couch working her computer. My 13-year-old was laying there and working on his iPad. And my new pup, my 10-month-old pup, was laying sound asleep between them. And I felt at that moment pretty blessed. I know that it's a luxury that many out there who are worrying about other things, worrying about their loved ones working in hospitals, might not have. So I do understand that, but for me, it was just, I think the things that we wished we could keep those in our mind when it's not difficult times, of how lucky you are with family around. So that was my ray of sunshine and my happy spot today.
Governor, thank you for your time. And please know you have a lot of support from many listeners here that fall on both sides of the aisle. So thank you for everything you're doing for Minnesotans.
Well, thank you. And thank you for Minnesotans. We're going to get through this together. Bye.
Thank you, Governor. Always find something good. You got to find the positive or else we'd all go nuts. He's got the weight of our state on his shoulders. I'm glad he took the time to be with us today. Let's talk movies with Tim Lammerst next. Sounds like a warm movie to me. Tim Lammer's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at minnesotapersonalinjury.com. And as always, Tim joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Jordana. Good afternoon. And look, I come from a military family. My father, two of my brothers, my father-in-law, nephews. I mean, just a huge military history in my family. So I have an incredible amount of respect for soldiers. And I love when inspirational stories of heroism are told. And that's exactly the case with The Last Full Measure. And the story, the true life story of Air Force pararescue jumper William Pitzenbarger, on April 11, 1966, during the Vietnam War, he single-handedly saved 60 American soldiers during a bloody battle, but it cost him his own life.
How come I've never heard of this movie before?
Well, you know, it came out in January, and back then, I mean, being on only 600 screens is not a lot, you know, so it didn't have that wide a release, didn't have a big marketing push. It's a smaller studio that put it out, so that was the big problem. You know, and plus we also had 1917 going on at the same time, and that had all the attention as far as war films are concerned. This is a story, it's a war film, yes, in a way, because you see flashbacks of how this man saved so many lives. But it's also the story that was set in 1999 when a Pentagon official, he begrudgingly took on a request to do an investigation into why an Air Force cross that was posthumously given to Pitzenbarger wasn't upgraded to a Medal of Honor, which would have been the greatest honor for him. So after 3 decades, he thought impossible task, but then this thing that was a pain to him became a purpose as this investigator learns the stories from the men themselves. And he learns the stories from Pitzenbarger's parents about the sacrifice. So it's a heartbreaking film. It's brutal to watch at times because of these war scenes. But the way these stories tell the soldiers tell these stories, it's also very inspirational. And the third act is incredibly emotional. So I highly recommend the film. You heard Samuel L. Jackson's voice there, Ed Harris, William Hurt, Diane Ladd and Christopher Plummer as the soldiers' parents. Jeremy Irvine, who starred in the film War Horse, actually plays Pitzenbarger. So just a tremendous effort all around. I thought this film was unbelievable. I just cannot say enough of how great of a film it is.
I appreciate that, Tim. Thank you. It's called The Last Full Measure.
Correct.
And because we're a little short on time, I'm sorry, the governor was late for us. We're going to skip the trailer to Sonic the Hedgehog because Tim has a story about Selma Hayek that I'm dying to hear. But let's review Sonic the Hedgehog. Tell us if it's worth it, and then we'll hear the Selma Hayek story.
Sure. Sonic the Hedgehog. Live action, animated, hybrid. Pretty decent hit in theaters. You have this animated character, Sonic, which is a Sega video game character, and he teams up with a human, James Marsden, and tries to thwart the plans of the nemesis, Dr. Robotnik, played by Jim Carrey, who is very, very funny in this picture. Great movie for kids and as well as adults, especially if you played Sonic when you were younger, because Sonic's been around a while. So I think it's one of those, you know, films that can be entertainment for all around for the family.
Okay, perfect. Something I'll definitely watch with the kids. So I mentioned the other day that I love Selma Hayek. Because
right.
During your last reviews, she was in a movie that you told us not to watch, and I didn't. So you have a story about Selma Hayek.
Yes, I do. It dates back almost 25 years, believe it or not. 1996, Atlanta. Press junket for Selma Hayek and Lawrence Fishburne's new film called Fled. And part of the festivities was this big party with music. So I told my wife, Patty, before I left, I said, I bet you $5. I'm going to get to dance with Selma Hayek. And, of course, you know, big laughs all around there. You know, no way. It's never going to happen. So I interviewed Selma. She was wonderful. I loved talking with her. And she was relatively new on the scene at the time, too, a rising star, clearly. So after the interview, I said, hey, would you mind signing this picture? And she was wonderful. Oh, yeah, I'm more than happy to and all that stuff. I get back to Twin Cities, the Minneapolis-St. Paul International. Patty's there to pick me up. I get off the plane, and I tell her, $5. And she says, what? I said, you know, remember $5 if I dance with Selma Hayek? She said, no, no way. Handed her a picture. Selma signed it. Tim, I had a great time dancing at the party. Thank you so much, Selma Hayek.
Well done.
Well done. It shows you how much of a sense of humor Selma had about the whole thing.
That's great. Oh, my
God.
So,
I mean, to folks who see the picture now, just tell them, yeah, I dance with her. Of course. You know, I'm big shot hanging out with these movie stars. And no.
You are. You're our big shot. I love that story.
I went to great lengths to try to fool my wife. It didn't work, but it was fun the fact that Selma signed the picture that way anyway.
Oh, so sweet. Oh, my gosh. So fun. I'm glad we got it in, Tim. Thank you. We're out of time, but Sonic the Hedgehog, yes. Last Full Measure, yes. And we still love Selma Hayek. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Jordana. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
You too, love. Tim's movie reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. You can find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. And Tim will be back Tuesday when we talk streaming. Always has some good suggestions for us. And I need to talk with him about Fauda and some other stuff. I started watching Afterlife that he recommended. I like that too. We will be back in a moment for a moment of meditation. I need a meditation moment because during the commercial break, the entire system between me and David went down, and we were both scrambling a little bit. So I'm very happy to take some deep breaths with you because we were feeling a little stressed. We've done this one before, but it is worth repeating because it's super effective, and I really like it. It's called 4-7-8 breathing. Okay, exhale all of your breath. and seal your lips. You're going to inhale through your nose for a count of four. So let's do it together. Two, three, four. Then you're going to hold for seven counts. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Exhale very slowly for a total of eight. Three, four, five, six, seven. Let's do it again. Inhale. Two, three, four. Hold your breath for seven. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. Now exhale for eight. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. It's called 4-7-8 breathing. In for four, hold for seven, out for eight. Do it whenever you need to calm yourself down. I need to do it a few more times because I was a little stressed out during the commercial break. So you can keep doing it for the next few hours, but I do really need to get to our next guest. You have been hearing that it is Give MN, Give It Home MN. Today marks the beginning of hashtag Give It Home MN. It's a week-long fundraising campaign for thousands of nonprofits and schools all across Minnesota. Many nonprofits and schools are seeing demand for services and their increase during COVID-19. People are being forced to cancel fundraising events. Sources of revenue are drying up. So they need help. They need help from donors. To make it easier, givemn.org has posted a list of all the organizations that you can donate to at givemn.org. And WCCO is very happy to support Give at Home MN. For a list of charities, again, givemn.org. One such charity is People's Center Clinics and Services. Officer Paula Gwynn is joining us now to tell us about the People's Center Clinics and Services.
Hold on, Jordana. Jump in there. That is not who we have on the line right now. We are highlighting an organization called People Serving People, and Renal Ray is their associate executive director.
You know what, Renal? I'm so sorry. We are featuring one story every hour, and she is joining me in the next hour. Renal, I so apologize. People Serving People, Renal Ray, Executive Director, is joining us now. Renal, thank you again for coming on the show. I apologize.
And thank you for having us, and thanks for providing our community opportunities to give.
Yes, and we want to do this for as many charities as we possibly can, so I apologize again for getting us confused with our next hour. Tell us about People Serving People, Renal.
Absolutely. So People Serving People, we exist to see families thrive, and we work with families when they're in a difficult position, and we work with families to provide shelter and supports to families experiencing homelessness. We're located in downtown Minneapolis, and on average, we have about 334 people in shelter with us every night, and two-thirds of those people are children, and the average age of our kids in the building is six. In addition to shelter and meals, we also provide supportive services and early childhood education, a K-12 program, and things that folks and families would need to help them get onto their path for stability.
Boy, so these folks are already really suffering. How has the COVID-19 epidemic affected People Serving People and the folks that you help?
Yeah, we are struggling right now, and we need help. Similar to other organizations, we've experienced a large increase in expenses and unbudgeted costs related to things that we're changing to make sure that families and staff can stay healthy and safe, and that's had a large toll on our organization. We've lost volunteers, about 7,000 volunteers that we have a year, and our staff is carrying most of the load right now. When it feels like we're asking most of the state's workforce to stay home, we're asking our staff to come in and continue providing essential service. We've changed operationally, so instead of having families come and eat meals in our dining room, we now are packaging up meals and delivering those meals to family rooms. We have kept our early childhood programs open as a critical support for families that are struggling and also for essential workers. So those are just some of the ways that we've been affected, and we could really use our community's help.
Boy, I can only imagine, you know, we feel like these spoiled people complaining about having to stay in our homes, but we don't think that there are people out there that don't have homes to go back to. And now when you have, they're in communal living, thankfully, mm-hmm. for folks at People Serving People, yet they can't really leave the apartment or the shelter that they are living in. And gosh, it makes me feel, you know, spoiled that we have that we have a home that we are allowed to shelter in with Netflix, and the kids have their own bedrooms. And mm-hmm. it's hard to imagine having to shelter in place the way we've been having to for the last few months when you are in a communal living situation. So, Renal, is what you need funds? Do you guys need financial donations? Are you even taking volunteers now?
We have just a small handful of very trusted volunteers to help with meal deliveries. But what we really need mm-hmm. is our community's financial support. We have a campaign as part of Give at Home MN called Staying Sheltered. Part of that campaign is we have a really amazing $65,000 matching from an anonymous family foundation and from Wells Fargo. So dollars that community provide right now will be matched dollar for dollar, and that will go a long way for us as our expenses increase, and we don't know exactly how this will play out in a congregate living situation. We know that once stay-at-home ends, we will continue to have to keep working in a way to keep families safe. So, yes, we need financial support.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Executive Director of People Serving People, Renal Ray. And Renal, if people go to givemn.org, they can select People Serving People to help out Renal and her staff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, People Serving People. You go to givemn.org. They need you now more than ever. And Renal Ray was joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. They are the largest, the region's largest and most comprehensive family plus hotline. They are the largest, the region's largest and most comprehensive family focused homeless shelter. GiveMN.org. When we return, Sloan Martin will wrap up the governor's. He wasn't there today. The governor wasn't there today. So Sloan will give us the highlights of the press conference in a moment. This weather is brought to you by B&M Tree Service. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a high of 74. Isn't that fantastic? 74. Sunday, same deal. Just a repeat of Saturday. Monday, we got a 40% chance of rain coming in with a high of 61. It does look a little moister next week. Tuesday, 60% chance with a high of 47. But right now, it's 73 degrees in the Twin Cities. Welcome back to 3:48. Jordana Green. Paul is off today. He will be joining you Sunday from his basement from 9 to noon. So it is David and I. And please stay tuned because at 5:45, we're doing the happy hour. Governor Walz gave us a happy hour when he was on. If you missed his conversation, please feel free to use the rewind feature at radio.com. He joined me at about 3:05 as we started the show. But at 5:45, you will hear his contribution to the happy hour. There was a press conference, as always, from the Coronavirus Task Force. The Department of Health in Minnesota holds it every day at 2 o'clock. Our own Sloan Martin was diligently taking notes. She joins us now to give us the highlights. Hey, Sloan.
Hey, Jordana. Yeah, let me start off with just some numbers here today, because we know that this testing is ramping up. Yesterday, Minnesota had a single day high with 4,100 people with the PCR testing, that molecular testing. And of course, that was the goal we heard from the governor last week, to try and get to that 20,000 per day capacity. Still working on the logistics of making sure on the front end, different clinics around the state are able to do that. But that was, I think, a positive thing to really build up the ability to do that. We're at 5,730 cases. That's an increase of almost 600. And again, that is because of that increased testing volume. And then sadly, 28 deaths to 371. 24 of those were long-term care residents. So heard a lot from the Minnesota Department of Health today, particularly more detail. And I know people are still buzzing about this extra 2 weeks of the extended stay-at-home order, Jordana. And just that message again from health officials that it would be very easy for this to go out of control quickly, that the spread is that rapid, and that's why they say the caution is warranted.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the governor just detailed today they went from zero cases in Nobles County to 900, I think, in just a few days. So he gets it. He understands. I also believe there was conversation about long-term care facilities. Are folks really considering taking their loved ones out of long-term care facilities and maybe bringing them home to shelter at home with the family?
I mean, you think there people would be thinking about that if you see that over 70% of the deaths in Minnesota are long-term care residents, that 99% of them have underlying health conditions. Maybe you're thinking about that loved one. How can I get them out of this congregate care that is more susceptible? It's not just, you know, the age and having a more frail population, but it's also that type of living setting. That's why they're also focused on things like homeless shelters, for example, because of that congregate setting. So a message to people who are maybe worried about their loved ones who are in those congregate care facilities, that of course it's the family's decision, and these facilities are working very hard. 21 facilities in the state have 20 or more cases, but about half of them, 135 out of 244, have two cases or fewer. So that's something MDH says, is that places are working very hard, even with staffing difficulties. There's a team, an emergency management team, that's working closely with these facilities that are facing staffing shortages and other challenges, even bringing in acute care staffers to kind of help and bolster those staffing concerns. But I think when it comes to making that decision, you have to realize that it could be really disruptive for that loved one to have to change their home and have to uproot themselves. And also they could be missing out on the specialized care that they need that has them there in the first place. But of course, it's a very individual and a really serious decision.
That's really hard. I know. I have a lot of empathy for folks and families that are struggling with that right now. I know yesterday there was a lot of talk about testing, and the governor's goal is to have 5,000 tests per day by Monday, when, you know, curbside reopens. Certain things are going to reopen on Monday. And I asked him today, is that realistic? He said today he believes there was about 4,700 tests. Sloan, now these tests, do you have any idea if folks still need a prescription from their doctor? Can anybody get one of these tests? Are you familiar with who has access to them?
This was the message from the state, that anyone who is symptomatic can get one, that they can go to their usual facility. There's even a website where you can find the clinic closest to you that is administering them, whether it's drive up or not. But that is what the state's message is that there doesn't have to be any kind of, barriers to try and get that testing. And of course, the message continuing that anyone who has symptoms needs to stay home, but definitely having that availability, that's going to give us a better idea of the spread of the infection. Of course, we do, and health officials have acknowledged this. We don't know about those asymptomatic carriers and really the full breadth of the entire infection in the state. But yeah, Jordana, that's really the message, that if you're symptomatic, you can get a test. Mm-hmm. Now, things are a little bit slower, as I mentioned, on the front end, as opposed to the back end. The U of M and Mayo, they say, we've got this locked down to process those tests, but it's been more the logistical challenges of getting out those swabs, things of that nature, to try and make sure those tests can happen all across the state.
And if you don't live near the U of M or Mayo, is finding a place to get tested a challenge?
Well, that sometimes depends on where you live. Of course, it's always challenging, even in rural places, to be able to access healthcare for a lot of different reasons. But I think that the state really is making that effort by putting the list down about places you can go to. But you're right, Jordana, there's going to be different inequities for people who have to drive a lot farther to be able to get a test, for example, than us here in the metro area. And I think that there is an effort to make this as accessible as possible, but you do have to think about those rural places that do not have that same availability, for example.
The governor also mentioned contact tracing. You know, if you've been in contact with somebody, then we need to find who else that, you know, that infected person was in contact with. Did they mention any of that today at the press conference? I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, Sloan.
Not specifically today, but it's a good thing to go over, Jordana, because that is basically it takes about 48 hours before you even feel the symptoms of it. So in that 48 hours, you could think you're fine and could be potentially spreading it. So that's that really key time that these contact tracers, who are basically like investigators, they're trying to figure out where you've been, who you've been in contact with, where you could have picked this up, and maybe who you could have spread this to. So because there is a freeze on hiring in the state, they're actually redeploying people from different areas of the health department and different agencies to put them to work to increase the number of people who can do that contact tracing. But it's a difficult job because you think about, for example, at the JBS plant, there were over 60 languages spoken there. So even with the translation, it's just a cumbersome process to try and get that many people, get that information, have that investigation going in a really critical spot, a hot spot here in the state that's affecting critical infrastructure at the processing plant.
Sloan, I got 30 seconds left. We got the happy hour at the end of the show. What's making you happy today?
You know, I feel like my answers always involve either my dog or something outside, so I will stick with that. And while I was walking my dog, just really taking in the vibrancy, trying to savor the bright green vibrancy of spring. It felt really good taking in those like buds, because soon they'll just be fully bloomed and it'll be nice and hot. So taking in a nice springtime day.
Sloan, that's beautiful. I wish you and your handsome husband a good, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Jordana. Have a good weekend.
We'll be back after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.